Everybody thinking about Mother's Day, it's right around the corner. Went this past week to Greenwood to do some running around, and it's was on my way back. Had a just had a feeling that I needed to stop at this particular restaurant. Really odd, because I've only eaten there once and it wasn't all that great, but it was this really big pull that I needed to go there. Went in, stopped. I was planning on just getting something through drive-thru. Went in, stopped. Golden Crowd don't have anything to worry about by a long shot. But I just had this overwhelming urge. I needed to be there. Sat down, looked around, didn't see anybody I knew. Then I saw her. There's a self-moral, self-reasonable, used to employ ladies that would help patients with their meals. People that didn't have any family members to help them feed the meals, or they need help with the menu. They were called hostesses. And this one particular lady, her name's Janice, she was just a bright spot of so many people's days. I never saw her in a bad mood for years and years. And they worked it was a hard job. They had to hand out all these trays, and it was a lot of physical work, and they heard a lot of griping about hospital food, but she just loved it. She loved working with patients and families and trying to make them feel better at a time when their lives were falling apart. We spoke. She recognized me right off the bat, which she hadn't saw me in years, and a lot of pounds and a lot of gray hair since the last time she saw me. And I knew who. I didn't know what. The more I was sitting there, the more it was just laid on my heart. You got to pay for her lunch. You got to pay for her lunch. Which is not my normal. Normal, I hear, you know, I want you to pray for this person or something. I went up to her table and I asked her if she would let me buy her lunch. She about started crying. I did too. This beautiful lady, so beautiful on the inside, was just having a horrible time. She never said what, but it was laid on my heart that it's a combination of physical and financial. I don't know why, but I feel that. And she hugged me, and then she hugged me again, and I about started bawling. She was crying. Paid for it, and then one last thing. It was laid on my heart, and I don't know why, to tell her that the darkness wouldn't extinguish her light. And I talked to her about all the times that she had helped people. I asked her if she even knew how many people she had helped through the years. Had been the thousands. Little things. Just a salt packet or to straighten up in a room. Things she didn't really need to do, but she did it. Just out of the love she had. And for some reason, I just felt like she was being attacked spiritually. It was just words were busting out of my mouth that the darkness wouldn't extinguish her light. When I left the restaurant, I felt the acknowledgement that I had done what I was supposed to do at the time. This lady will never come to our church. May not ever even see her again, but that's what I was supposed to do. Drove up the road, I realized there's something in this that's a message. I didn't know what. This lady had shown kindness and compassion. Anyone that knew her, Jane, I know you worked a lot of thirds, so you probably didn't know her. But Lisa remembers her and shown kindness and compassion for others that could never help her in any way. They were helpless. She went in 5 days a week, a lot of times did overtime. Some days even came in on her day off for patients that wouldn't eat for anyone else. I started looking through scripture and found this section in Matthew 25 that we're going to look at. Matthew 25 is made up of three distinct stories. We're going to look at the last part of it in verses 31 through 36. Jesus gives a story. He's in Jerusalem for the Passover. It was about to occur. Jesus had a few days left in his life. It was during this part of Matthew, some of the best stories, parables came out that he used for his teaching. And this, I think, is one of the best. This was probably on Tuesday, and he was going to be arrested on a Thursday night. The prophet Zechariah actually had an image of this. This same image by 500 years before Jesus was born. And this is something that we will all see one day, the final judgment. That when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He'll set up on His glorious throne. We're going to see this. Every one of us will see this one way or another. It said that He's going to put His sheep, His goats on the left, sheep on the right. And He used comparison of Himself as a shepherd and the people in His flock as His flock. And why did they use comparison sheep to goats? They're all holy animals. They're both able to be eaten. Both were valuable resources. Their behaviors, I think, had a lot to do with it. Sheep were gentle and quiet, easily led. And the goats were pushy and they were headstrong. Most goats are naturally horned, but a lot of sheep, they were dehorned or naturally hornless. Those goat horns can bring harm to one another. They're kind of quarrelsome and they have short tempers. The king will say to those on his right, "Come to you, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth." Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. How beautiful does that sound? The pain, the dirt, the sin, the turmoil left behind. God could have destroyed Adam and Eve for their sins. He had every right to. He didn't. He came to earth in the form of a man to give us another chance at salvation. He sacrificed and endured so much pain for us, and He expects us to give our time, our ears, our other gifts to help others. Like Janice helped people through the years. All she had to do, I could tell when she was working. You go in, you could tell how a patient had a tray laid out and if there was care and compassion behind it. Jesus sacrificed for us. He cared for us. He expects us to care for others. There'll be times it's not convenient. There's a lot of times it's not convenient. Then you ask yourself then, what are our priorities? When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. As I read this verse, I realized that lady I saw, she had her priorities in order all these years. At a time when I saw her, she needed some help. And this can be giving someone physical food and water and helping them to find a place to stay. It can also be spiritual. How many people walk around in mansions and nice houses and they're starving? They're starving physically, spiritually. They're in a mess spiritually. They can't or won't provide for themselves. I think we all probably know someone like that who's just given up on themselves spiritually, maybe physically as well. They need people to listen, and they need people to pray for them. People to pull them towards Jesus as the answer. It's not popular. It's not popular at all. When we do this, though, we open ourselves up to ridicule from people who don't believe and don't understand. We'll eventually open ourselves up to open persecution as Christians all over the world are experiencing. And it's coming. It is. Whether we want to, it's not comfortable to talk about. But right now, in state houses over a good many states, there's legislation that would actually make words out of the Bible a hate crime. Don't believe me? Look up California 2489. local cities, Mayor of Houston several years ago, wanted sermon samples from every pastor in the city so they could be analyzed. Jesus said we'd be persecuted for him. Do we need to back up, though? When we're naked and you clothed me and I was sick and you visited me, I was in prison, you came to me. In Jesus' time, it was up to family members to provide the basic necessities when somebody was in prison. When we do this, the basic necessities, isn't Christ a basic necessity? The bread of life, the water, and once we drink of it, we'll never be thirsty again. We can give someone physically if we're not giving to them spiritually. Are we really helping? The righteous ones performed these deeds, and they had no idea they were ministering to Christ. When you do unto the least of these, you do unto me. Jesus said, whenever they gave food to the hungry, welcomed the stranger, clothed the naked, or visited the sick or in prison, they acted in kindness towards Jesus himself. Jesus can identify with the least of these because he walked in their shoes. And the righteous will ask him, we didn't see you like this. Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of these, you did unto me. People on the right hand are the people that during the judgment, they're people that followed his rules and followed his laws. They're concerned with helping others instead of what they could get out of others. And there's a big disconnect. We got a lot of folks that are concerned with what they can get out of people other than helping them. They're willing to let God work through them. I didn't give that story to make you think I'm something special. I'm not. How many times have we all felt the urge that you need to do something? It's just a pull that you need to do something. How many times have we ignored it? How many times have we followed it? Did we ignore it because it wasn't convenient? It wasn't simple? I've been there. I've ignored it before. I think most of us, if we're honest, we have. But that pull is from the Holy Spirit. And you, if it corresponds to this, it's from the Holy Spirit. If it's telling you to get a new Corvette, probably not Holy Spirit. But if it's telling you to go visit with someone, it's Holy Spirit. It might be just having a cup of coffee with somebody. Just having a simple cup of coffee and just trying to, just listening. I think I'm guilty sometimes of wanting to fix everything. Sometimes I don't need to fix anything. I just need to listen. How many times when you have something on your heart, you really just want somebody just to listen to you, to listen to understand, not to listen to reply? And that can be really hard because most of us think about it. When you're listening to somebody, what are you really listening for? Listening to answer them back instead of listening to understand. And I've been guilty of it. It's like verbal ping pong. But sometimes maybe we just need to listen to just understand and let that person get that out. And they don't expect you to fix it. They just expect you to understand what they're going through. Maybe asking somebody at a church that's having a rough time right now. Visiting or calling somebody who's going through a tough time. I firmly believe that more moments of judgment won't come when everybody's looking, but while we think we're alone. When you have that urge that, you know, I ain't really talked to Tommy in a while. I feel like I need to call him. I don't know, though. I'm binge watching Game of Thrones, and I got to get up early in the morning. If no one else knew it, would you help another person, even if you gained nothing out of it? That's a repeat. if no one else knew it, would you help another person even if you gain nothing out of it? I do want to clarify, you can't work your way into heaven. There's a fine line between our faith in Christ and our conduct in this world. Our conduct, we can't behave our way to heaven, but we can sure, our actions can sure kick us out of it. Saw this statement, and I firmly believe it. God doesn't send people to hell. Our actions do. Our faith in Jesus is our Lord and Savior, that He came and He died for us and He rose. That faith, knowing that He is the way, the truth, and the life, is our passage to salvation. That does not come free. He paid for it with blood. He paid for it with the expectation that we will follow certain rules. God's always had a covenant with His people. The initial covenant with Adam and Eve, He started another one with Abraham, then He started another one with Moses. Then He realized these knuckleheads can't keep an agreement. So I got to take it a step farther. And He came as a man. Our salvation is bought with His blood. But there are terms to it. One of them, follow His rules and help the least of these. Al Capone ran soup kitchens and all kinds of charities. He helped all kinds of people. He was also responsible for dozens of murders. Salvation is given to those who accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and they follow His rules and commandments. Now, there are people on the left, and they're going to be judged. And He's going to tell them, go away. I don't know you. You let me starve. You let me thirst. You let me be cold. These people that either want to be seen, or they don't have the time, or they want salvation, but they want it on their own way. And there's going to be a lot of people surprised when they're on the left-hand side. God gives us discernment to pick these people out, because there are people that want to use people for their own benefits because they don't want to work for it. Or they're greedy, or what have you. It doesn't do us any favors to be used. People who try to use others instead of working for what they need, they're guilty of deception. And it's okay to say no. It is okay to say no. These verses apply to people that we know are in need of helping. Doesn't mean selling your house and giving away everything. I'm talking about giving you time, your words, your prayers, your heart. If you live to help with material or financial support, that's good. If that's what you really feel. Don't help someone for what you can get or to be noticed. Help because it's what you're supposed to do according to Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit's urging you in that direction. We all know Janice's. We all know people just like her. People that have helped others for years. They don't expect anything. Most of them don't have a lot. Financially or physically. But they are so complete spiritually, it's not even funny. This lady, you could just see the light shine out of her. And she truly has helped. People that didn't have two dimes or two pennies rubbed together. She has helped so many, and I'm ashamed to say it, but there are probably going to be a lot of people who's donated millions to charity who are in church every Sunday is going to be on that left-hand side. Not because of their actions, but because of their hearts. They're going to get up there And they're going to say, we were in church every time the door opened. We gave Lottie Moon offering, whatever. We gave all this. We were there. We were part of study groups. We were this or we were that. What did you do with the other 6 days of the week? What did you do when I was not, when you thought no one was looking? What'd you do? It's a tough question to answer. Once you know Jesus and know what you're supposed to do, we all fall into one of these two categories. You've been exposed to Jesus. You know you fall into one or the other. And there may be some people there thinking, you know, I ain't got the money to do this or that. It don't take money. It just takes a kind word. It may take just praying for someone or praying with someone. It may take just you look like you're down. Do you want to tell me what's wrong? Stanley Hauerwas, American theologian, wrote, "The difference between followers of Jesus and those who not know Jesus is that those who have seen Jesus no longer have any excuse to avoid the least of these." Janice gave up her excuse a long time ago and helped hundreds, thousands of people. We don't need to help hundreds or thousands of people. If we can help one come to Christ, just one, each of us, just one person, help one person get out of the darkness. Wow. Wouldn't that be something? Just one person. And it may be just to help them over that dark time, and you don't need to beat them over the head with a Bible. Just show them how you live. People listen with their eyes these days, and they watch what you do more than what hear what you say. Like, I saw Janice through the years. I listened with my eyes with her, and I saw her actions when no one else was looking, for people that could in no way ever do anything for her. Then I was pulled for someone that could, you know, probably I may never see again. And I think we all have those examples. They're out there waiting on us. That one person, the least of these, that's being laid on your heart. Probably as worse as I'm speaking right now, there's that one person that you can think of in your life that I could call them. I could talk to them. And don't worry about having the right things to say. Sometimes the best thing to say is just not saying anything. Except, I love you. I'm here for you. And this is going to get better. And you're not walking through this alone. And then if they want to talk to you about Jesus, about God, pray for the right answers. Holy Spirit will give it to you. And He'll give it to you in a way they're going to understand. I'm going to get everybody to stand. We're going to go to Lord in prayer. Then the songs will start and the altars will be open. There may be somebody today. It might be you. It might be somebody else. That if we all died right now and we were standing up here in that throne room, are you going to be asked to go to your right or are you going to be asked to go to your left? What about your brothers? What about your sisters? What about your mama, your dad? Are they going to go to the right or are they going to go to the left? It's a hard subject. I mean it. But it's one that we have to talk about now because we're never promised a tomorrow. Those people, they're in our lives. Right, left. When you leave here, I want you to think about that. I want you to pray about that. I want you to just, if just one person, each of us talks to one person or text them or what have you, it may be that one thing that's keeping them from diving deeper into the darkness. And this world is full of it. It is full of darkness. The light is few and far between. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, we know we're going to stand before you one day. Stand before Jesus. We will either be sent to the left of him or the right of him. Father, help us to help the least of these. Give us discernment to know when we need to help and when somebody's trying to use us. We need to know the difference because they're not getting in. We're not doing them any favors to help them use someone, but let us help them to straighten out their lives. Father, it can be scary to talk to someone about you. We don't have the words, but you are in the word business. You have given us so many people through the Bible, so many people now, the words to say. You just need a willing heart to do it from, to use as your hands and feet. Father, this is a world full of darkness. Each one of us, I know, has thought about someone that would be sent to the left of us. In our family, in our friends, people we don't want to see go to hell. Father, work through us to help those people. And if we can just save one person, each of us save one person, Father, and that person save someone, and shine the light back on this world. Oh, what a beautiful world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The altars are open.